This is Daniel Cerrone. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
All right, I want a man to give me money for helping him escape. It's almost like winning the lotto. On this week's award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast, greetings one and all, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
You usually get money for something else at a convenience store?
Well, I mean, I usually buy lottery tickets there.
I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. I'm not even supposed to be here today. Thanks for joining us yet again on the final season of The Blacklist for The Man in the Hat, written by Daniel Cerrone and directed by Olenka Dysenko. There's no number on this one, just The Man in the Hat. If you thought you were getting some cool backstory on Red Reddington, wrong. Not going to happen. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. Also, I want to send out a personal special thank you to Chuck for filling in last week. I think you did a great job. Definitely made a lot more sense than Troy does.
That is for sure. That is for sure. Thanks so much for Chuck being here. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go through some cleanup from last week with our profiling question of the week. Then we move on into this week's case profile. And then, of course, hear all the fun intel from you, the fans, during our special agent intel section. And our question from last week was, what were your thoughts on Herbie's big debut?
And 32% of you said, bring back Aram. I get that. I'm with you. 22% said, I better see a foosball table in the post office. Nice. Well, then Red would have to get another foosball table for the other post office. That would be just a huge budget uplift. I don't know if they really have that. 19% said, go home, Herbie, and watch your kid. I'm with them. 15% said, okay, he's okay, like the comic relief, sorry. And 12% said, I like the friendship with Dembe. Nobody said, how does he really get a job here? Like, at some point, do they not vet people? Because they obviously know he's a spy for Red. So, this is just okay now? We're just going to clear these people right away? I don't understand the hiring procedure. The onboarding policy at the post office is suspect.
I mean, that was the policy since season two, right? Because everybody forgets that Samara was actually placed in the post office by Red, too.
Right. But I mean, literally the episode before, I'm sorry, it wasn't on last week, but literally the episode before that, Red is screwed over the post office horribly, and then they hire his guy the next episode. Come on. Can you make it a little easier to believe? Jesus. I mean, Dembe's an FBI officer over a season is one hard pill to swallow as it is. Herbie being hired right after Red basically screwed over the post office was a little bit of a stretch.
Maybe just slightly.
Well, the question for next week is, what's your go-to snack when you shop at the old Quick Mart?
That's right.
What do you get? Anything?
I mean, back in the day, I would usually grab a set of Mountain Dews, 220 ounces, and a Cool Ranch Dorito for the trip.
Why back in the day did you stop taking trips?
No, I stopped eating junk food because I'm going to die because I have high blood sugar counts.
Oh, that'll do it. I don't remember. I think usually like gummy bears or something gummy.
Watermelon and Sour Patch Kids are the best.
I can't do sour. I don't like sour.
That's because you're already sour.
All these flavors in the world and you choose sour? Come on.
Yep. Damn straight.
Nope.
It's the best kind.
I stopped getting gummy when I realized that they're made out of bone.
You had to share that fact.
That's a fun fact. Google it. All right.
Well, now, since there's nothing more exhilarating than pointing out the shortcomings of others, let's go ahead and get into this week's case profile.
All right. Well, I got to say, there's really not much. I mean, this is filler. This is very much a filler episode. Would you agree? I expect an episode called The Man in the Hat with No Number, heavy on the backstory, the mythology of some sort, which we know they've gotten away from the whole identity stuff. That was done in season 8. And once again, we have not come back to it. This proves it as far as I'm concerned. Well, we've already proved it about 10 times, but solidifies it even in the final season.
Yeah,
the mythology of who he is done.
Yeah, if you're gonna deliberately name an episode The Man in the Hat, which sounds like you're gonna get a big reveal, and then have absolutely no mythology whatsoever, that clearly says there is no mythology anymore.
Yeah, it's just this is Red versus the Post Office final game. What are we going to do? How's this going to work out? I'm still trying to figure out, like, what happens to these characters when Red either goes away or dies, either one. And it's going to be one of those two because the Post Office is going to be defunct, right? What else are they going
to
do?
Yeah. I'm waiting for next week's episode where they go to the horse track. maybe one episode where they actually go to a movie theater and we actually see what the movie is. I don't know.
Yeah, something. Apparently, we're just going to see them go about their day. Yeah. We own with a TikToker at a Quick Mart looking for Jay and Silent Bob, I'm pretty sure. A customer walks in and a thug goes in with a gun, locks the door, steals the phone. It's turned into a hostage scenario, and Raymond Reddington might be inside because Dembe saw some footage, and he's like, oh, that looks like Red Reddington.
Yeah, we all saw the footage before Dembe did, and we're all like, that is Red Reddington.
No, he's the one that showed us the footage.
No, we saw it in the cold open before the title card. It pans to Red in the back.
Oh, okay. Maybe I missed that. My first thought, Raymond orchestrated this to divert attention when Panabaker came in. Like, he had a side plan to deal with the whole Post Office thing, and that was going to be, you know, a diversion in order to get everybody focused on this convenience store and away from him so he could meet with her, something along those lines, and it didn't end up being anything like that at all.
Nope. Sure didn't. It just became a hostage situation because he was buying, what was it, a nut bar? Goldenberg's nut
peanut
bar?
Chew.
Peanut chew. Yeah, because it was just stopping and get something for Agnes, and he was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get hungry all the time.
Sure. Sure, I don't stop at convenience stores very much anymore just because of things like this.
Well, I don't think Red should be stopping at a convenience store, especially without any kind of security, because he's Reddington.
Well, these days, where's he going to go without security?
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? So the customer witnesses remember maybe five hostages inside, like right after the witness that was in there. Wrestler is trying to lock down the scene. And eventually what happens is the thug is murdered and they all come in to interview witnesses. And one is wearing Red's clothes. This is like doppelganger Red, I guess. The witness said he had a revolver, but his gun is a Glock-like device. So the gunman is killed in a struggle with a TikToker, according to that recollection.
Yeah, I mean, this is classic TV 101, where you have the people give you their version of the story, but you know that the version of the story is totally incorrect, and then you get the big reveal later on in the episode. And I don't know if there are people that are actually, like, buying into the story, and that Red was never actually there, or what they were trying to prove with this episode, because it was pretty deliberate for anybody that watches any kind of amount of TV would figure out where this episode was going.
Yeah, I had two theories. One, he's still in the building for some reason. I don't know what that reason would be. Or two, he was never there. He was there at the beginning, then left immediately because it was meant as a diversion. And these people were all on his payroll, you know. So them being paid off to help him escape, that was a weird twist, but we'll get there. Weird twist in terms of I didn't see that part coming. I figured they were all on his payroll originally before he ever walked into the store. That's what I assumed.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So there's a coat, gun, and a hat that belongs to Red. Wrestler and Dembe believe Red was definitely there because it was definitely his stuff. And then Wrestler breaks down the Red lookalike with a fun little aside. I thought that was actually pretty cool how he just went through and he's like, here's how I know you guys are involved.
Yeah. Like, you don't look like the kind of guy that's going to wear a bazillion-dollar trench coat and a hat that was made in Italy.
Yep. I mean, maybe you would, but you just don't look like the guy. So finally, we get the alleged real take. Red wanted peanut chews when the gunman comes in with a revolver. Raymond killed the thief in the Quick Mart with a brownie. It was murder. And then the customers meet up in a bar later, and we get the real deal. Red killed him and then set up his evacuation. He doesn't threaten him. He just tells him he'll make him rich. He was hiding the Quick Mart the whole time. Now, here's where I find it fascinating. I thought this was actually an entertaining episode. It didn't feel like anything having to do with the Blacklist whatsoever, though.
Correct. This was a enjoyable 42 minutes of TV for a diversion, maybe, you know, having your late night TV dinner or what have you. It was fun TV, but at the same time, this is the final season of the Blacklist. What are we doing?
On the same token, it's been enjoyable. Like, the last several episodes have been entertaining to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So it felt like a little bit of a throwback to earlier seasons, which was nice. You know, I don't know. ever since Wujing has been taken out, I'm just like, where are we going here? Like, but that has happened in previous seasons where you had a big bad killed pretty early in the season. Then there was a few kind of, I know nobody likes the term, but they're filler episodes.
Yeah.
A few filler episodes. And then we get introduced to the final stretch, right? But I thought the final stretch for sure was going to have to be Red versus the government or something because of that huge
mess up.
Not mess up, manipulation of their efforts a couple episodes back. And that's really kind of
also wrapped up,
whiffed out, you know?
Yeah,
surprising.
The big things for the season were Wujing, Sia's mother, and then obviously the fallout from killing Wujing. And all of that was wrapped up by this episode.
Well, no, I think Sia's not done yet. Sia's still going on.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're not done with that whole side story. There's more to her death than what they explained.
Yeah, but is she going to like keep going? It's kind of like the whole like when Liz says, I love you in season 6. Is it really?
Sia's going to say, I love you at some point?
Well, no, just that fact that she's got that kind of like closure, like she's adopted and I know who my mother was because Cooper gives her the speech. And so it's like, does she really want to progress forward or does she have enough info to say like, oh yeah, she was a great agent and good enough?
I don't know the answer to that. I just know that she finds out she's adopted and then, you know, she has, okay, I know what happened to my mother, but that's not exactly what happened to her mother. There's more to that story. So we know that. And if we know that, she's going to find out. At some point, she's going to have an issue with Red. Someone's going to tell her. Probably Wrestler, honestly.
But Red didn't actually kill her, right? It was other people that killed her. It was
right, but it's because right, but it's because of her association to Reddington. So she didn't get that whole story. She only got a piece of it, right? So she, you know, she asked the question, did her death mean anything? You know, I think she asked that question. Yeah. And that's something that once she finds out, that she died for this. I mean, I really feel like that's going to push her into some kind of retaliatory mode, some kind of avenging angel or something.
Park mode activated.
Maybe. I think there's definitely going to be more to it though. I definitely don't think Sia was put here. And if that was all we got, that would be a huge whiff. What a waste of a character.
Right. We'll have to see. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe it'll be something less direct. Maybe it'll be something where she finds out more information. She gets frustrated and makes a mistake that causes an issue for the task force or something along those lines. There'll be more to it. There's got to be more to it. Got to.
We hope so. That's for sure.
Got to. But what'd you think about this episode overall? Because that's it. I mean, it's Robin, a quick mart, him getting away. Still don't quite understand how you get all those people. You can't get 5 people to agree on politics or anything else, but apparently they're going to agree on this.
Well, when cash is involved, you'll agree on anything, right?
Apparently. That's key. Yeah.
Any other again, this goes back to how we've been talking about the whole season. Any other television show, this is a very entertaining episode. You know, because it's The Blacklist, it's just like, and it's the final season, it's that's the stuff that's just like, what are we doing? I don't understand what we're doing.
Here's my thing. I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm trying to take each episode as its own thing. So I did enjoy it, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm looking for something that connects to the overall season. And maybe it's just because of seasons past where my expectations are more connected than the season's been outside. Well, that's not really fair it is really fair because the Wujing, there's a lot of the stuff in the Wujing stuff that didn't feel connected too. So it's just kind of meandering is the word.
Yeah. Meandering. Like we phoned it in because we know that it's literally senioritis. That's what it is. It's senioritis.
I don't want to say phoned it in. I don't agree with that. I do feel like it was entertaining. I mean, people very much seem to enjoy the episode. I don't want to take that away from anybody.
Right.
I'm just saying in terms of an overall arc, a season arc, there wasn't anything that connected it. This was very much a filler episode. There's no number attached, which is fine, but we've been conditioned over the show to think that means something deeper for this show. And that's twice this season where that's not true.
Yeah. Dockery affair. Yeah.
The Dockery affair. And then this one, that's 2 episodes where you had no number and just a title. And that usually in the past for all the other seasons meant something very big, very deep, very powerful. And neither one of those did that take. They're both entertaining episodes in their own right, but they had nothing to do with the mythology. So the mythology is dead as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's done.
Yeah. I mean, and there could be a whole bunch of things you can do to go here, right? Especially with Wrestler and the 5 years that he was chasing Red. You know, why isn't Wrestler doing more to figure Red out or find out who Red was or avenge Liz's death? You know, there's all those stories that you could be going after, which would at least tie back into the previous seasons.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to tell them how to write their show. You can go any direction you want. I just feel like it. We should have more of a connection for these kinds of episodes. These should, I think we rightfully and fairly go into those episodes expecting something a little bigger and deeper.
Oh yeah.
So you walk out, disappointing is not a fair word. Everybody was entertained, but you walk out with your expectations not being met because of the conditioning of the previous years.
Correct. And especially when you have these press releases put out, you know, weeks in advance. So people are like planning, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks out, depending on when this one dropped, right? You go to Futon Critic or a bunch of other sites and you can see that there's this man in the hat title is out there with a synopsis. So people are like planning their Sunday evenings around this big event. And then it's like, oh, well, that wasn't so big after all.
Yeah, it wasn't. Oh, well, I mean, people still enjoyed it and that's what matters. So entertained they were. Let's move into characters. Music, was there anything? I think there was a song.
There was a song at the bar when they were gathering before Chuck comes in with the money, but unfortunately there wasn't enough there to be able to grab it. So if you knew what the song was, let us know. Feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com is the email, or drop it on the Facebook group. Let us know. If we find it later, we will definitely make sure it gets updated on the post on the website, where you can find all of the playlists to the music as well, both for Apple and Spotify. Again, the website is theblacklistexposed.com.
All right, characters. Not a lot of character stuff, but there's still some. Panabaker, Reddington's days of going unchecked are done. Once Red to be in front of her by the end of the day to explain herself, or she's going to the Attorney General and shutting down the task force, which she was, and she's not going to. Why do you think she was swayed? Because Red shows up, and she says she can't cover for him anymore. She has a meeting to tell the AG everything. She's okay paying for her mistake. She's no longer worried about being blackmailed. He actually gives her the tape. He's like, hey, I ain't blackmailing you anymore. You do you. You do what you got to do. And says these nice lines. Cynthia, I'm trying to do my best. He gives the blackmail back. It was my mess to clean up. That's my 2 cents. Spend it how you will. Why do you think she was moved to cancel that appointment?
That one, I honestly have no response to. It seems like it should have been slept on at least, and then cancel the appointment the next day. I was perplexed by the move, like how quick it happened. I think is really the thing that surprises me the most.
Other than
convenience of television, right? Because it's like, hey, we can't have him going from the AG because we still got 10 episodes left to do good work.
I think that you have a character who is always very adamant about what they're going to do. And Red doesn't really say anything persuasive, except, I guess, that was my mess to clean up. In other words, it's my problem, not yours. But it doesn't change. You broken our offices. You wiped our
data
drives. You did all these things. I don't know, other than
we do good work. Like, let the team do good work. She wants to do good work, I guess. Maybe that's enough of a motivator for her.
I guess, but there's got to be like an ulterior motive. The only thing that would make sense to me is she found a way to use this to manipulate the task force for her own benefit or something along those lines. But for somebody that was getting ready to turn herself in and she didn't care about what happened to her, that's the part where it doesn't make sense. She was fully welcoming the ability to accept responsibility. Maybe once she got the blackmail back and she's like, oh, this is back in my hands and it was his mess to clean up. All right, maybe we can move past this. I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, other than she felt like she owed him a favor because he helped absolve her by giving her the blackmail back, potentially.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but still Cynthia on the show is a better show when Cynthia's there.
Oh, absolutely. Love having her on. I wish she would make more efforts to be on the show, or they'd make more efforts to have her on the show. She's great. Yeah. Love having her on. Herbie still somehow an agent. Don't understand it. I can't. It is what it is. No background checks at the post office. That's all I can figure out. You know, when I hire somebody, I don't want to hire somebody that could possibly bring down my entire organization, but, you know, do what you got to do.
Or, like, you know, develop some kind of, like, lethal virus or something, or a bomb inside of his lab in the back. When did we get a lab in the back, by the way?
I don't know. He's an all-purpose employee, right? He can do computer work. He can do DNA work. And, of course, DNA always works faster in TV. It takes weeks. But he finds the information out, and he's very empathetic towards Sia. Now, here's where I say, he does work for Red. Or he has worked for Red. He's very much Red's guy. Could he have faked those results? I'm just trying to build some mystery in here. Could he have had those results faked?
I mean, in past seasons, I would have said, sure, absolutely. This season, no, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, same here. But I like Herbie. He's a nice guy. Even if it makes no sense for him to work there, I still like the character, and he's a nice guy to have around.
I do like the adoption angle, though, because it kind of potentially solves the whole, well, I thought she said she had this many kids and they were this ages, and how is Sia this old now, and all that conversation that was happening in the first episode, if you remember, about, like, could she really be, you know, Mira Malik's daughter? And now we find out that, well, she might have been adopted daughter, so maybe she was old enough that when Mira was talking about it back in season one, she wasn't referring to Sia in the conversation.
Maybe, but on the same token, I mean,
it's a convenient right around, for sure.
Yeah. I'm just going to walk past that one. Resto doesn't really have anything going on. Sia does have the clearance finally to look into her mother's death. And her file says that shows that she's adopted, but she doesn't believe it. So Herbie, of course, recommends running DNA. Not sure what he's, I guess, running against her DNA file on the.
Yeah, the DNA was records on the file. And so she just needed a shot swab from Sia in order to just do the comparison.
Yeah, sure. So they do. It's not her daughter. She also volunteers to watch Red. She doesn't have a life. The file says her mom was attacked from behind in a nightclub and her throat was slit.
Which is true.
Did her death mean anything? No logic, no reason, no answers. But there is meaning and more details behind it. And that's what I think she's still going to get. Shouldn't have it yet. So I'm curious where they're going with this whole Sia thing.
Yeah, especially because Cooper then has the conversation with her. You know, Mira Malik was a good woman. She's a fine agent. She saved lives. So she's got the purpose. The question is, is that going to be good enough, or is she going to keep going and keep digging?
I think she's going to keep digging. Obviously, she's obsessed. I mean, Cooper literally told her, don't do this today, and she still did it today. So I don't think she's going to stop looking.
I don't think that makes her obsessed. I think that's what everybody would do.
No.
No.
That's what you would do, maybe. But if I'm told, hey, this is a top priority, I can wait till tomorrow. It ain't going to change till tomorrow. I would wait. The job is the priority. The task at hand is the priority. Not my selfish needs.
I think you're an outlier. I think there are.
I think I'm selfless. I think that's a good trait. That's not a bad thing.
It is.
I put the needs of the many among me.
80% of Americans, or probably people in the world, if you said, hey, here's a golden ticket, do not open this, would open it. We're horrible.
The thing. He didn't say, do not open it. He said, don't open it today. Look tomorrow. Today, we got to find Red. It's one more day. That's obsessive. She couldn't wait. She couldn't control herself. That is concerning for the future.
That's also because she was bored to tears as she was going through the stuff. Did you see her face? She's like, I can't believe I got to do this.
That's all she cared about. She cared more about that than her own mission, her own task at hand. Shows character. And then we go to Red. Red's immunity deal was also wiped when Red wiped everything. I think we have a clarification of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we knew that, but we wanted to hear it again. So now we know. So there is no immunity deal, technically. He'll have to get a new one if he even gets one. I don't know. Red does buy Agnes the Barnes Foundation art catalog. And just so you know, the Barnes Foundation is an art collection and educational institution promoting the appreciation of art and horticulture. It's originally in Marion. The art collection moved in 2012 to a new building on Benjamin Franklin Parkway in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, home of Rocky.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And the Eagles, but mostly Rocky. He leaves Agnes a letter. Cooper reads, it's very sweet. I love you, Pinky. That was very sweet. And then, of course, the Goldbergs peanut chews laying on the counter. So, I mean, I actually liked this end moment. I thought that was actually a very sweet moment. I just felt like we didn't get much Blacklist before we got there.
Yeah, the ending when you got the Goldenberg peanut chews with Cooper, then you got the Goldenberg peanut chews with the Phillies hat. And
Goldberg, and just Goldberg.
No, it's Goldenbergs.
Was it Goldenberg?
Yeah.
Man, I should have taken a nap.
I know. But then the Phillies hat at Red's old haunts, right? Not the bathhouse, but the old haunt from last season. And then just that Dembe and Ressler go in so that they at least like, hey guys, I was there, just so you know. Not that they didn't need to know, because they probably already knew, but I thought that was kind of cute that Red would do that for him.
Oh, and you're right. It is Goldenberg's peanut. It's a real candy.
It's a real candy.
Mm-mm-mm. Manufactured by Just Born. What a weird company name. And that's it.
Maybe because when you eat it, you feel like you were just born.
Okay, that's weird. Tastes like placenta. All right, that's going to do for that blacklist. But
I did like that the letter was actually read in Red's voice, though, that Spader actually did the ADR for it. I think that was good.
Oh, yeah, it was a good, and that's a good letter. It was very sweet.
Something a grandparent would write to a grandchild.
Okay, we want to take a quick second to say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's Patreon. That's patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Special shout out to our task force members, Marilyn, Cindy, Jacob, James, Jens, Joanne, Johnny, Justin, Karen, Catherine, Richard, Sharon, Lacey Ann, Vanessa, Emily, and they're all official task force members. All these people receive cool gifts from us, and you can get one as well at the $20 level or higher. A cool t-shirt or a coffee mug. Come on, you know you want one. You don't have to stay at the $20 level forever either. You just got to stay there for a couple months to get those gifts.
And remember, if you're a $5 patron, you get the episode before anybody else.
Early!
Early! Good stuff. And then everybody else will get it a few days later. So make sure you head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/theblacklistgsm, because we'll give you the intel today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow like Sia. So go on ahead and fill in the fedora, and then we'll be back with Special Agent Intel right after this.
Hey there, fellow podcast listener. Do you love video games but are tired of the negativity surrounding most podcasts?
Why not give The Gaming Outsider a try? We set ourselves apart from other video game podcasts by including our community and discussion on games as much as possible. And hey, we'll never charge you to be part of the show.
We pride ourselves on being an inclusive, family-friendly show while discussing industry news, the games we've been playing, and a weekly topic centered on gaming both new and old.
So check out The Gaming Outsider at the same location you're listening to this fine program, or check out our website, thegamingoutsider.com. And remember, there's no such thing as a bad game, just games that aren't for you.
Hello, Garys. This is Susan Blumert, but my fans call me Mr. Kaplan. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
All right, we've got Special Agent Intel. Agnes, this is Lee Crowder. Agnes will go train with the Rusca Roma and take over the high table. Now, that's a crossover. Cooper won't turn on Reddington due to Agnes. Agnes knows who Reddington is to her, and he is the only blood relative from that side of the family. She does have Scotty, and I'd like to see her show up again this season to see Agnes. So would I. I actually feel like that's a real missed opportunity, but I don't know, you know, with casting and stuff, that can be hard to arrange.
I agree. And it's so long ago. I mean, that was season 3.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's her grandma. You know, why not?
I mean, it'd be a way to get Eddie Gathegi back in the show also. Since they all still tentatively work together. Gray Matters. All right. Chuck chimed in after last week's episode and said, hey, last week when we were talking about how Agnes said that one of them was the imposter, it would be pretty hilarious if it was a fake Agnes and the real one was hidden away somewhere. And she comes out at the end and is like, didn't you even notice that fake Agnes was way older than she should have been?
Chuck's trying to make this like a Full House episode.
Maybe. I don't know
what's going on with that.
He's not wrong.
No.
He's not wrong about the age, though. She definitely looks much older than she should be.
He's definitely not wrong. I just don't want a fake Agnes show. Nope. That's close to twins, and I can't do it. Nope. Monica Stolfa. Okay, Sia's adopted. Is this a theme regarding parents hiding their true identities from their children? Did Red leave those two candy bars for Ressler and Dembe? Speaking of which, Ressler brought up Brussels again. Are we ever going to know what happened there? Of course, Ressler and Dembe couldn't catch Red. How would they hide the fact that they work with Red from SWAT team leader and everyone else? I'm glad Panabaker is still aligned with Red. What story is she and Cooper going to come up with to explain Wu Jing's death in a federal facility? Is the rest of the season building up to the task force versus the justice oversight politicians? We shall see. That's lots of questions there.
Well, let's just take the obvious one. Like, wouldn't it have been great, Aaron, to have seen the backstory in Brussels with a no-named episode titled Man in the Hat?
Yeah, would have been good. Might have been what some people were expecting or hoping for. Expectations. They suck.
I still love I love the fans, though, for like remembering the Brussels thing. when he said that, I was like, oh, yeah, there is that Brussels thing that's still out there.
Still out there. What are the other questions? Is this a theme regarding parents hiding their true identities from their children?
Yeah.
Yeah, to a degree. Sure.
I mean, you could even say Dom kind of hid his proclivities from Katerina in a way until she was old enough to understand and then brought her into the fold.
Yeah, I was like, where are you going? Because, I mean, he trained her.
Yeah.
Yeah, the candy bars, I think, for Cooper and Agnes.
No, because they had a candy bar that Cooper was had at Cooper's house. That one was for Agnes. And then the two candy bars that were left with the Phillies hat were for Wrestler and Dembe. So there were three candy bars total.
Maybe he wanted them to have more than one. Maybe they gave him a stack.
They're delicious. Why not? Buy a whole box of them from some Cub Scout or something. Boy Scout. Girl Scout. Whoever sells candy bars these days.
I think just convenience stores. So what story is she and Cooper going to come up with to explain Wu Xing's death? I mean, that one feels pretty easy to me. All you got to do is say, because he was killed in the post office, which means he broke in. And yeah, Red was there. And guess what? He had to shoot him because he feel fear for his life. Done.
But the cameras were off. So it's like, does anybody need to know that Wu Xing was killed in the post office? Like,
well, she's going to have to do a report.
Why do you have to turn it in?
I don't know. Because she seems like she's ethical. Somewhat.
Yeah, you clean up the bodies, you get a little bleach, you wipe it down, and nobody knows it was there.
Why would you be so self-assured that you're not going to deal with this anymore and you're done covering up for Red? And then he says, like, that's my 2 cents. Do what you want with it. And then you change your mind.
Yeah,
I don't understand that change either. People do things that don't make sense to me. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, George Nauman said, great episode. Loved Red in a Phillies hat. Go my team. That's George's team, not my team. They missed a golden opportunity to have him go up the rocky steps at the Philadelphia Art Museum where he bought Agnes the Barnes Foundation catalog, even though I know the show is filmed in New York City.
Yeah, they would have to go on. Number one, you have to get permits and all that stuff. And
yeah, I mean, you could have probably done it at American Natural or maybe at the Met, but I don't know if it would look too much like the Met.
Listen, that's a lot of filming hassle for that one shot. I don't know if you really needed it for this episode.
Yeah.
But it would have been cool. Absolutely. And see him jog up and down the steps. Do that fist pump. I made it.
That would be a sight.
So, sure. Yeah, Phillies, what's your team? Cubs?
Yeah. Cubs for the National League and Twins for the American League.
I don't have a baseball team. If I did, it'd be the Cubs because that's what my grandpa and I used to watch. But
baseball is a thing that is way too long.
The season.
The games too are actually getting much faster. There was a whole bunch of new rules instituted for baseball this year with like pitch clocks.
I didn't know that. What are pitch clocks?
So you basically, the batter has to stay in the box and then the pitcher has to throw the pitch within the amount of time, like a shot clock for basketball or a play clock for football.
How long is that?
I don't know the exact time on it.
God, that would be nice because they do drag that out.
Yeah, and it's actually led to more hits and more stolen bases, so it's a lot more exciting to watch baseball now.
You got to do something to move it along. Baseball is one of those sports where it's like hockey. I'll watch it in person. I have no interest in watching it on TV.
Oh, yeah, no. On TV, it's boring. It's designed to be a radio sport, so that way you can do mow your lawn and work outside and sit on the porch and have a iced tea or whatever. It's not meant to be watched.
Is it 1953 at your house?
That's what baseball. That's why baseball is America's pastime, because that's what people did, was listen to the game
on
the radio.
It's not anymore. I think we can all agree baseball is not America's pastime anymore. It is long over. I would say it's football, then basketball, then baseball.
Yep.
That's where I think it is now. I could be wrong because you have way more games for baseball than anything else, but man, I don't know anybody.
That's also why they really call it America's pastime. They didn't say it's America's current time.
Okay. Well, touche. Well, that's going to conclude this discussion. So now's the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, or your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend they listen and subscribe to The Blacklist Exposed podcast, where all the case profiles can be found at theblacklistexposed.com and everywhere else great podcasts can be heard.
For more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, follow us on your social media outlets. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. Together we are at The Blacklist GSM. And we'll be back next week to talk about another thrilling Blacklist episode.
the snark. All right, big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. What's your go-to snack from the fill-up station Quick Mart?
I didn't know what to like say because we have a global audience. Like, what do you guys call it? That should be the question. Like, what do you call a gas station? A place where you get petrol?
Convenience store.
Is it the petrol station?
No, it's just a convenience store, right? In most places, it's just a convenience store. Yeah. I think a Quick Mart and Quick Stop and stuff like that's more East Coast.
Yeah. Well, Quick Trip, that's Midwest.
Well, that's a name of like an actual chain, though.
Let's be clear. The only place you should be going is Buc-ee's because that place is like Mecca.
No, Buc-ee's is a mall. That's not really a convenience store.
The amount of beef jerky you can get at a Buc-ee's, fabulous.
It's kind of like an Iowa 80. Have you ever been there? Iowa 80 truck stop. It's the biggest truck stop in the world. Pretty cool place, too.
I've not been to Iowa 80.
It's pretty awesome.
Where is it located? Is it actually in like Des Moines or where?
It's in Iowa off I-80.
Well, yeah. Iowa is a pretty big state. I was thinking, like, what city in Iowa is it in?
If you're coming from the Illinois border, it's like 2 hours, I think.
2 hours across the border?
Yeah, 2 hours in.
All right.
Coming from
Illinois?
Yeah. And then it's about 4 hours coming from the west. All right. I remember right. Something like that.
So not quite at the intersection of 80 and 35, just a little east of there.
No, it's not. But it's like Buc-ee's, but bigger.
Bigger than Buc-ee's?
It's bigger than Buc-ee's. And I should say, they have a museum of classic cars that's very cool. So if you ever get a chance to go there, be sure to check out that museum. It's actually separate, but it's right there on the property. It's really cool. They have cars from classic films, classic races, classic everything. I mean, a lot of cool stuff in there. A lot of history in that building.
How is it bigger than Buc-ee's? It's huge.
It's bigger than Buc-ee's. The world's biggest truck stop.
World's biggest truck stop.
Mm-hmm. And every time somebody puts something on a little bigger, they add something to get just a little bigger. It's a race. And they're winning.
So it is just west of the Davenport area.
Yes.
North of Walcott, Iowa, if you're interested.
Walcott's right on the border.
Yeah.
Right?
Just past, over the border, yeah.
Yeah. It's far past that. But yeah. It's on Iowa 80. Drive down Iowa 80. Can't miss it.
I-80 and 60th Avenue.
There you go. And see the museum. Really cool. And we should probably leave. There's nothing else to talk about. Now we're talking about truck stops. I mean, people are like, what the crack?
Look them up. Iowa 80, Buc-ee's, Quick Trip. Yeah. Do your research. You can write a book report next week. Tell us which one's your favorite.
And your snacks.
Whatchamacallits.
Those are good. Eat one of those.
Those are not. That's not candy.
I still don't know what it is. I guess that's why it's called a whatchamacallit.
Bye. See ya. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.